Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the word this morning? I'm not going to keep you real late today. I say that, but we'll see what happens. Well, it's still early, isn't it? So turn in your Bibles to Psalms. Let's go to the verse that we've been on here lately. Psalm 27. Last week, I looked at the weather report. That's not part of the message. And I saw in Kansas it was going to be almost 50 degrees, which in January in Kansas is a miracle right there. Usually winter hits Kansas, and it's winter until things melt in the spring. And they had snow on the ground, actually. And so I said, Patty, I've got to go to Kansas to put this floor down. Here's no open window. So Monday was busy until late that night. Tuesday morning, got up early, took off to Kansas, started putting down my mother's kitchen floor that we gave her for Christmas. Got up Wednesday morning, finished the floor, carried all her trash off, took off Thursday morning back for Kentucky. Got here Friday, hitting the ground running, seeing Pastor Lee with the Elvis concert and everything else. So it's been wild, but God's been there every step of the way. He's got a path for our lives. I guess this is part of the message. We'll mix it in. And things that He has you do may not always seem like the logical thing, but it'll be the godly thing. And my mother was so thankful. I had the opportunity Wednesday night to minister to some of my family. Just watching God do His thing. Psalm 27, have you got it? Verse 11, teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. The word enemies there, actually in the Hebrew, it refers to those which are watching me. Lead me in a plain path because there are people watching me. Oh, glory to God. You know people are watching you? That whole ordeal with Pastor Lee in the hospital in intensive care for a month. The people watching his wife, watching the pastors, watching everybody that came in, and everybody that came out of the church did nothing but speak faith and praise God. And now the entire hospital section wants to come to church. They said, we see that you guys are not like most Christians. You didn't blame God. You didn't come in whining and crying and, you know, and saying, why God, why? You came and just spoke Scripture. And we see this miracle that's taking place. We want to come to your church. And so, MICU, bed I. So God's got a path for us to follow that it's necessary we stay on. Otherwise, our testimony is damaged. When you start to walk it your way, do your thing, when you start coming up with your plans or how to even do what you think God would have you do, it's usually going to crash. God has a plan for every person's life. Every Christian, He's got a plan for you. Something He wants you to walk out specifically for yourself. And it's going to be different from anybody else's plan. You've got to get with God to find out what it is. And guess what? It's always going to require faith. You cannot logically deduce the path God has for the revivalist. Well, I just think now that I'm a Christian, I should do this, I should go there, this ought to be the ministry or, you know, activity I should be involved in. And listen, I was there trying to just do what a Christian should do and just about burn myself out till I discovered God knows what I'm to do. Let's find out what He would have me do. And all of a sudden, He sends me on this course that seemed totally out of what I thought I should do. You know, for me to preach was the last thing I would have put on my list. But God will always call you to do things that are outside of your nature, outside of your own natural talents, because He wants you to be dependent upon Him. He wants to uphold you in what He's calling you to do. And again, Jerry Savelle said it years ago, or he said, everything God's ever called me to do took money, and it was always more money that I had when He called me to do it. It's going to be something that stretches you. Amen. So, God has a path He wants us to follow, but we've got to get with Him to discover that path. Now turn to Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel chapter 47. And we go here a lot. Amen. But it's a chapter that God has always spoken to me through. Have you got it? Verse number 1. Afterward, now here Ezekiel's caught up in a vision with God. Afterward, He brought me again unto the door of the house. This is the house of God. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. So here they're at the house of God, and from the altar, through the house and under the wall, waters are running. You've got this picture, right? Then brought He me out of the way of the gate northward. Now He's coming out of the house, and led me about the way without under the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. So now we're seeing waters running out of this house of God, out from the altar, through the temple, and it's going to form a river. Now what we're finding out here is this river is a representation of the outpouring of the power and glory of God through time. Amen. God has always intended to have a glorious bride. He's always intended to have an overcoming church. And He knows it's going to require His power being poured out and us accessing that power to do it. And when the man that had the line in his hand, a measuring line, went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. It brought me through the waters were to the knee. So he measures out 1,000 cubits. That's believed to be about 1,500 feet. 1,500 to say 2,200 feet. We really don't know the length of the ancient cubit because there were giants in the lands. People were believed to be even bigger than they are today. That potentially a cubit was bigger than it is. We really don't know. If we ever find really Noah's Ark measure, we'll know what a cubit is. Because if we can take the length of it and divide by 300, we've got the length of Noah's Ark, right? And so he measures out 1,000 cubits and the water has become ankle deep, right? So it's starting to form a stream at this time. Verse 4. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. Oh, I like, he's going through the waters. They're not staying on the bank, they're going through the water. See, God is taking His church through the water. Not across, but I'm talking about upstream, or downstream, I guess. Downstream, He's flowing us in this river. And the waters were to the knees, it's getting deeper. Again, He measured 1,000 and brought me through, the waters were to the loins, waist deep. Afterward, He measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass over. This thing's getting so deep that it can no longer be ignored. Amen. It can no longer just be passed over by walking through it. You're going to have to learn to swim. You'll have to learn how to flow in the anointing of God to move in this river. For the waters were risen waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. God's going to pour out His glory in a fashion that it will no longer be able to be ignored by the world. Amen. And it's happening even now. The power of God, the miracles of God are in the process of being released in a fashion that CNN will no longer be able to ignore it. Fox News will have to report it. Amen. And truth will be manifest if CNN still exists. I'm praying on that one. Verse 6, and he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? In other words, are you aware of what God's doing? My question to you this morning starting out is, are you watching? Are you seeing what God is doing? Do you recognize we're in the midst of an outpouring like the world's never seen, and we're in the very beginning stages of it, and your life from this point on will never be the same? I believe God's calling us onto that motorboat, that speedboat, flying up this river at full blast, as things behind at lower levels, that those who won't move fully into the depths of what God's doing, as things collapse about them. Amen. I've always seen that collapse of the river as things in the nation, things in the world going through a collapse. But knowing that the river represents the level of anointing and power the church flows in, I'm just pondering, what if the collapse of that river, everything being swallowed up at shallower levels, represents dead religion being swallowed up? Just a thought. Amen. Because we have a responsibility as God shows us deeper waters to go into them. We were never called to stay in ankle deep water. We were called to find out the depths of what God's pouring out. You follow me on this? Don't say I said that, you know, that was going to happen. I say it's a possibility. But something's going to happen. Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert. The desert are places where the power of God's not moving. There's no flow of the Spirit. And go into the sea. The seas represent the multitudes of people. Which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. Now he's not talking about the waters that are being poured out being healed. They carry the healing power. He's talking about the seas, the multitudes of people. When the waters from the throne meet the waters or the seas of the people, the peoples, the multitudes will be healed. There is no doubt God intends in this end time move to have a mass release of his healing power. Miracle upon miracle upon a miracle, like has never been witnessed. Amen. And he's looking for carriers of that power. Anybody want to carry it? Amen. Verse 9, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish. Those are people that are born again, right? The harvest. Because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. Now he goes on describing the results of this river. But what it's talking about is a release of the power of God, the flow of this river, into desolate areas where there's no move of God, where there's no miracle manifestation. And it's going to result in multitudes being made whole. Do you see this? Now it's probably been, I'm going to guess, 27, 28 years ago. Maybe 29. I was at home. I was in my recliner. I still see it today. I was in my recliner. And I'm reading through the Bible. I'm worshiping God. I'm just reading through Ezekiel by faith. I mean, back then, even today, a lot of times to read Ezekiel, you do it by faith. Because you'll read a few chapters, have no idea what you're even reading about. I'm not sure it's even unveiled yet what you're reading about in some of the descriptions of the temple being built. This many rooms, this many chambers. What's it talking about? So I'm reading it by faith. And I get to chapter 47. And start reading about this river. Now, backing up just a little bit, I was born, my family's from Kansas. I was born on an Air Force base in Biloxi, Mississippi, Keesler Air Force Base. And when I'm 3, we moved back to Kansas. My father's discharged, and we moved back to Kansas. And so I live in Kansas from the age I'm 3 years old to 9, which are your early learning years. As I'm going through school in Kansas, you know, when you go to school in Kentucky, they teach you about Daniel Boone, settling Kentucky. You know, in Kansas, they teach you about the pioneers that homesteaded Kansas, that blazed trails through there. I mean, Johnny Appleseed, the whole works. We learned about the sod busters. And as a young child, I wanted to be a pioneer. I mean, that was my heart. I just want to grow up and be a pioneer. Something about exploring new things nobody's ever seen before. And so, to make a long story short, I wanted to then be an astronaut because in Star Trek they go to explore strange new worlds. And all my life I wanted to be a pioneer. I mean, when I took up scuba diving, I got to go down and see stuff people weren't seeing. It was like another world down there. That pioneering desire was so strong when I was young. I gave up the desire to be an astronaut when I found out that they would make them ride these centrifuges to test them, you know. And I couldn't ride the cup and saucer without getting sick. So I thought, well, I can't be an astronaut. So I kind of gave up on the pioneering mentality. And then, 28, 29 years ago, I'm reading this chapter. And I'm reading about this river. God's speaking to me about this river that is the outpouring of the end time revival. I'd never heard this preached on before. I don't think I'd ever heard this chapter taught out of before, but God started speaking to me strongly about this outpouring that's going to take place. And I'm going, God, that is so awesome. You're going to pour out your power in these end times. And then he started revealing to me that desire to be a pioneer ahead all my life growing up. Does anybody know what I'm speaking about? I mean, we moved to Alabama when I was 9. In fact, it was 2 days before I turned 9. We lived at the foot of this mountain, Montecito Mountain, Huntsville, Alabama. And here's a stream coming off the mountain. Here's a mountain for me to explore. The other kids are, you know, playing in the backyards, not me. I've got my bologna sandwich packed, my mayonnaise jar full of water, and I'm hiking up the mountain. 9 years old, I'm going to explore the mountain. And so God starts bringing all that back to me. And he says, if you will trust me and follow me, he said, I put that pioneering desire in you. I'm going to let you pioneer the end time river of God. He said, I'm going to let you see things that no men have ever seen before in the past. You're going to be able to go into unexplored territory in the realm of the Spirit, in the realm of the anointing and the power of God. And here, I'm barely saved. And God's speaking that to me. And I said, God, I'll do it. And before I could finish answering, I'll do it, another voice piped in and said, If you do this, you're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your wife. You're going to die of a debilitating disease and be a laughingstock if you choose this. And I'm going, that's not God. That's not God. I knew it wasn't God. I said, devil, I refuse to listen to you. God, I'll do it. And I know that you'll protect everything I have. This is before I learned faith. Or maybe I was just in the early stages. I don't remember the year. I may have it written down somewhere. I said, I'll do it. And from that point on, my life regarding faith went into a whole other accelerated level. And now, God's letting me pioneer this river. With the love of God, spiritual physics, praise God. I'm watching this happen, but we're just in the beginning phases of it. Yeah, well, what I want you to know is that wasn't just a word to me. Do you understand when we came into this nation, you know, several hundred years ago, that the pioneering opportunities were unlimited? There were men pressing north, men pressing west, men pressing south. Lewis and Clark. Remember the Lewis and Clark? Have you ever watched any documentaries about them? The stuff they explore that nobody would believe? Yellowstone National Forest area, they explored and came back with stories of water shooting out of the ground and nobody would believe them. Thought they were making up the stories. And what I want to let you know is there is no limitation to God's pioneering opportunities for you today. And God has always used... Anybody want to pioneer with me? God has always used pioneers to move into His plans and purposes. Go over to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, have you got it? Verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, from thy father's house. In other words, separate from everything of your past. Leave it behind. Unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee great. Amen. God said, my promise, in fact, let's read that next verse. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. God here gives Abraham a promise. I'm going to make of you a great nation. How many know we're part of that nation? The nation he was speaking about was not really Israel. It was the church. Because they which be of faith are the seed of Abraham, right? So God said, I'm going to make you great. However, it requires you go to a land I'm going to show you of. In other words, God doesn't lay everything out to you before we lead you down a path. He says, I'll show it to you later. Will you step out now? And Abraham had to leave everything behind. How many know he still took with him a lot? Lot went with him. And that's still causing troubles for Israel today. But he had to dislodge himself from everything that he was rooted to in his past. All of his soul ties, all of his favorite hangouts, his comfort zones, his best buddies, he had to leave it all behind. To go into an arena that God said, I'll show you as you go what you're stepping into. And Abraham became a pioneer. God works through people willing to separate from their past to move into an undeclared future. And you've got to be willing if you want to move into the end time glory. You want to be a carrier of it. You want to be one of those that carry the river into the desolate places, because the river goes where we go. We lay the course. If you want to be a trailblazer for the end time glory, you've got to be willing to adopt a pioneering mentality. What is past is past. But my future's unlimited. I don't know the course I'm going to go, but my prior path will not determine it. Because we tend to make plans for our future, especially before we get in revival. Well, here's, you know, where I'm going to work. Here's my retirement plan. Here's my savings accounts. Here's where I'm going to live. Here's where I'm going to, you know, have my retirement place at. And here's what I'm doing to retire. I'm going to buy an RV or get a lake house or, you know, whatever. Whatever dreams you have. And you get saved and God says, no, we're going to leave that behind. Leave all of that behind. I've got a different path for you. I used to have retirement mentality, you know, thoughts. I'd plan, well, how old do I want to be when I retire? My thought was, I want to retire as soon as I can. Have enough money that I can retire as early as I can, and I get to do what I want to do. Which at that time would have been fish around the world, probably. But then God saves me. He says, leave all that comfort system behind. Trust me. And now, I will never retire. Oh, at 70, I intend to file for Social Security. I don't intend to file for it before then. I mean, you're required to by 70. So they might as well pay me my money I've paid in, but I'm going to wait till the last minute. If Jesus tarries, you follow me? But I'll never stop working. I'll never stop ministering. Why? Because it's not a career. It's a life. It's an assignment of God. I can't imagine going halfway through the wilderness and saying, this is a good place, I think I'll just camp out here. I want to go all the way to the fullness of what God has. But you've got to be willing to be a pioneer. And to say, God, whatever you'd have me do, I'll do. Wherever you have me go, I'll go. Whatever you have me sow, I'll sow. Whatever, God, I want to be in the fullness of your plans and purposes in these end times. Use me. It amazes me what these guys would do to pioneer, you know, 150, 200 years ago. What was Rogers? Rogers Rangers. What was Rogers' first name? Remember? Wrong Roy. Wrong Rogers. He pioneered the Northwest Passage. An effort to find a way to the West Coast through the northern, above the Rockies area. And worked with Kit Carson. Well, he was later. All these guys that went out and were trying to find these new arenas, what they would do. I can't imagine it. Packing what food you could carry. And after a few days, anything you want to eat or drink, you've got to find. And you can only carry so much ammunition. You're going to be very careful on how you spend your supplies. Just to pioneer natural lands. And to pioneer in the Spirit, God's going to say, leave behind all your own provisions. Trust me. Be willing to expect me to meet your needs wherever you go. And I'm going to show you things you never thought possible. So when Jesus sent out, remember when he sent out the 12? Even the 70? He said, don't take any money. Don't take two coats. Just go where I send you. And wherever you go, trust God to supply. And not only did they get to witness the supplying power of God, the provision power of God, but they came back and said, the miracle power that you walk in, it was on us. Even the devils were subject to us. And they saw miracle after miracle as they went out pioneering. God wants you to pioneer music. You know that. You're going to hear sounds nobody else has heard. And they're going to say, where did you get all that? And you're going to say, God. Tim's pioneering in the oil industry. Coming up with stuff no man's ever put together before. To shake that entire area of world production up. Each of you have a pioneering call to do something. And it may not be something nobody's done before. You know, Kevin Holler and Kevin's Carpets. He's got a carpet company. Well, there's a lot of carpet companies. It's not like it's a new thing. But he's doing it like nobody's done it before. Through seed and confession and faith. Amen. And watching God explode that in blessing. So what God calls you to do may not be something brand new nobody's seen before, but He's going to have you do it by a way nobody's done it before. And you're going to be willing to change, to shift, to break some old ties, expecting God to make new ones, to uproot where you thought you were going, be willing to go where He sent you even before you know it. You know, 1991, God told me to start a Bible study in my house. I'd never preached in my life to start this Bible study. I've been on the street and had some tracts, and I was miserable at that. He said, start this Bible study. So we start the Bible study, and anointing comes on me to minister. Well, in 1993, February, I think it was, toward the end of February 1993, he tells me, quit your job. And he's basically letting me know, I want to get you ready for ministry. So I quit my job, nice paying job, full benefits, wife and two kids at home that like to eat. He says, quit your job. With nothing, no job, no income, no nothing available. But he'd already told me, he was calling me a pioneer. So, okay, God, we'll do it. And I've watched God now for 23 years coming up in since I quit April 1st of 93. For going on 23 years, we have never not paid a bill. Supernatural provision after provision. Two girls through college. God coming through every single time. But I had to be willing to separate from my comfort zone, my plan, my, you know, income stream, to connect to His. Now listen, if God doesn't tell you to quit your job, don't quit your job. I'm not trying to preach. I'm telling you, God's got a plan for you that's going to require you to make some shifts. It'll adjust your sleeping schedule, your eating schedule, your vacation schedule, your church attendance schedule, whatever God is dealing with you on. You're going to have to hear Him and follow it. I remember when I first learned, I'd only been saved, I think, maybe a week, 1984, July. And we're going to this church where we got saved. Charismatic church, and they invited us to this men's conference. So I go to this men's conference, and it's some founder of the church, that denomination, was there ministering it. And so I enjoyed the first night. It was good, and they brought me up, you know, drug me up to meet this guy. And this is Jack. He's just gotten saved, and that's why I enjoyed it. I said, I'd love to come tomorrow, but I'm in a city softball tournament. And so I'm the pitcher for my softball team. We're in the city tournaments. And I said, so I can't come tomorrow. And tomorrow night. And this guy, very prophetic. I didn't know about the prophetic anointing. I didn't care for it. Turns to me and he goes, you need to be here. I'm going, whoa. My first thought was, who do you think you are? Amen. But yet, something inside was saying, chill out, listen. So I struggled with that night. Next day, I called my team and I said, listen, I can't make it tonight. I went to church. I felt I had God inside of me saying, I need you to adjust this. Go listen. I couldn't tell you what He preached. All I know is I obeyed God. And I think they won the game without me anyway. I don't remember. That's really a hit, isn't it? Right away, God was dealing with me on, not my will, but yours be done. And you cannot pioneer what God has for you unless you develop that sensitivity. Unless God can say to you, go here, don't go there. Amen. Say this, don't say that. But can really get down where he totally changes the course of your life. Can you imagine what Daniel Boone went through? To, you know, find the Cumberland Gap and explore the eastern United States. I forget how many times he was captured by Indians. Have you studied Daniel Boone? One time the Indians captured him, were going to kill him. They planned to kill him. But because he expressed no fear, they let him go. I don't know if he was saved or not, but he expressed no concern about it. Willing to uproot everything to explore. Now listen, I think exploring the woods is a fine thing. Exploring the Mississippi is a fine thing. The South, Southwest, the Northwest, I think it would have been fun. At least days of it would have been fun. Something about sleeping in trees and on a cold ground and wolves and bears and pumas. Amen. Doesn't sound very exciting. But they're willing to do it. But what could be more exciting than to explore the river of God? But it requires, and God, I believe He puts that in us. This desire to see new things. When Star Trek came out, it hooked me right off. It hooked me. I was geeky anyway without knowing it, but when they say on a 5-year mission to explore new worlds, to boldly go where no man has gone before, I was hooked. They're going to show things on this show and pioneer things nobody's seen before. Of course, it was all anti-God, but Gene Roddenberry was a big atheist. That whole Star Trek series was about coming against Christian doctrine. And the thought that we get to go in the anointing, in the glory, in the outpouring, to flow in even an area of mental consciousness that the anointing can produce. About a dwelling in the glory that no man has ever lived in. We can live there. Totally captures my heart to go after God with everything I have. China. Were you guys here for Woody Thursday? I heard he was confirming a whole bunch of stuff we've been speaking about. But China got blessed. Because Friday night at prayer, she was still drunk. She was going like, I just feel like I'm in another place. I said, I know that you're in the glory. I feel like everything's just different. You're in the glory. God's giving you a taste of the glory. And she's going like, I just have such total peace. Yes. In that glory, you never have another problem, another moment of oppression the rest of your life. Never. No matter what happens, it cannot affect your attitude. And God's taking us there mentally. You know, I grew up in the 60s when it was, you know, the drug generation. Timothy Leary, you know, what did he say? Turn on, tune in, and drop out. About doing LSD. And the whole drug thing was advertised to the kids as explore the regions of your mind and thought that are available. And it was virtually sold to young people as pioneering. new arenas of thought. And it did. And I'm not advertising drugs whatsoever, but they take you to a new arena of thought. Especially LSD. LSD, you're crazy for about 24 hours. You're crazy. And your mind is in a whole nother galaxy. And so there is a drug-induced mental state that's available. But actually, they're all counterfeits for a spiritual mental state available in the glory. And God's calling us to go there. And I love it there. I love it that nothing gets you upset. Amen? That you can flip your car around, you know, spin your car around a room and in the road 50 mile an hour and laugh. Going, Jesus! After I finished, I think I was saying to Carrie Underwood, Jesus, take the wheel, you know. Going, glory to God, this is going to be a good one. And no damage unhurt. Put mud all over the tires and bumper and everything else. Angels. It's fun watching God move. Pastor Jim hit a deer doing 70 on his motorcycle. The people behind him, this has been 10 years or so ago. The people behind him on the interstate watched this big doe roll down the hill when he hit it. They pull over. He said he felt a little bit of impact. Pull over, and there's not a scratch on his bike. An angel stepped in and said, I got this. Then later, they're riding, and a car stops in front of them to make a left turn, and they have to lock up the bikes. Jim has to go down. He goes down on his bike, totals his bike. The guy behind him on a bike, 1,000-pound motorcycle, runs over him. Right, with a 1,000-pound bike, tire tracks all across my back, Jimi Hendrix. See, that's the old... Does anybody remember that song? Amen. Tire tracks across his back, diagonally, from here over to here, runs over him. Virtually unhurt. And he's going, I got this. Just kind of let the tires make some prints, you know? It's fun being in a river where you can't drown. But I'm telling you, with this mentality of this river being slow moving, just kind of like on our inner tube paddling down, oh, wow, look at the view. There's times this river's rushing. It's at flood stage. Remember Jordan always overflows its banks at harvest time? It said in Joshua, it's rushing. And there's times you feel like you're going to get sucked under. Amen. That, you know, log going to hit you upside the head or something in this flooded water. But you got to know that God's got you. And you get to go where nobody's gone before. I need to close this out. I didn't mean to go this long. Let me give you an example. Have you ever, and I know you have, but been walking outside or in town or something, and you see something really unusual, really unusual. So you call everybody over, look at this, look at this, look at this, look what I found. You always say, look what I found. We were at Hamburg here a few years ago with my family, and I see a little ball on the side of this. I mean, middle of the day, a ball on the side of the building. Is that what I think? I walk up and look, and it's a bat curled up on the side of the building right here. What did I do? I called her. Look what I found. My wife and I are always in competition to find something on Facebook first. Look at this video, this cat. Another cat video. I seen that one. It's always fun when you get to be the first one to show it to them. Do you follow me? Why? Something inside wants to be the first to see it and to release it. Do you guys know what I'm speaking about? Something built into us. And we get to go into the glory and show the world, look what God has shown to us. But there's a price. There's a pioneering price. Nobody ever pioneered new lands driving down paved roads. You make the road. In the desert, there was no roads where we're going, where the river's going. We've got to make the road. You're willing to dig some stuff up, compact some stuff down, and blaze a trail. And you're going to be going where people are saying, you can't do that. Nobody's ever done that. What do you think you're talking about? Nobody's ever been healed of that. Nobody's ever walked in that kind of love. No. Amen. You can't raise the dead. Apparently you can. Amen. And God may never call you to explore new revelation, you know, to receive it or to write a book or, you know, see some miracle nobody's ever seen before. But He's called you to blaze a trail for your life that nobody's ever walked before. In a fashion nobody's ever done it before. It just takes faith and a prayer life. Amen. And some sowing and fasting. Amen. Laying on your face. And quite a few tears. But the payoff is absolutely out of this world. We're going to stop there for today. Father, I thank You that You seal the Word in us. You raise up the pioneering attitude in each of us. We refuse to settle for our past, pre-established past, open before us understanding of what You'd have us do it right now. I pray for visions given to each one here, personal vision for their calling, revelation, confirmation of everything they need to do to launch out into it. And that You fuse us together, we can walk arm in arm in this calling all the way through to the end in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, we're going to let you go.